AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Did want to mention excessive heat warning going on right now, and we've got some thunderstorms firing up in the metro area. Not a surprise. Sam with us today. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. I've been at baseball fields all day. It is roasty out there right now. Have you been out at all?
Yeah, I've been out a little bit. I'm looking forward to those thunderstorms, actually, a little bit.
They're not cooling things down. We had one come through Hopkins, and it didn't cool it down at all. So be careful out there. Once again, an excessive heat warning is in effect for the Metro until 7 p.m. tonight. Joining me right now, Democrat of the day, is the current Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, and she is running in the primary to be the DFL nominee for Governor. Lori Swanson is kind enough to spend some time with us today. Attorney General, thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, hey, Matt, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for the time today. We usually do Democrat of the Day by introducing people, but I don't have to introduce you. You've been a stellar Attorney General. I'll start there. I mean, as you get ready to end your term as Attorney General here, why don't you point to your most proud accomplishment as Attorney General? Tell us what you think that is.
Yeah, the Attorney General's office is just a wonderful office. It can do incredible things to help people and make a difference in people's lives. The big corporations and special interests have armies of lawyers and lobbyists representing them, and regular people don't. And so we've been able to stand up for the people of Minnesota in so many cases, Matt, over the time that I've been Attorney General. Most recently, we secured an $890 million environmental settlement. It's 100 times bigger than the next largest settlement in Minnesota and the third biggest in the country, because a company had been putting some dangerous chemicals into the drinking water for about 50 years, and nobody had done anything about it. The legislature didn't, and these chemicals were just allowed to really sit there. And so I was able to file a lawsuit. It went on 7 years. We looked at 27 million pages of documents, 1,600 court filings, 100 judicial hearings, 200 witness depositions, and at the end of the day, got the biggest settlement in state history, and environmental settlement in state history, and we're going to put the money into cleaning up the drinking water, which not only helps people's health, but it allows, their home values to be restored. And so that's an example of something that we can do, but there's been so many. We've kicked bill collectors out of hospital emergency rooms and shut down the nation's largest arbitration enterprise because it was running a rigged system where it was secretly working on behalf of the credit card and banking industry, even though it was supposed to be fairly adjudicating claims. And so it's been an incredible honor to represent the people of Minnesota as their Attorney General and going to bat for them and trying to level the playing field so that people are treated fairly.
The fact that you did not win the AG endorsement at the convention, I'm befuddled myself. I'm shocked at that. But you made the decision. Talk about that process. That was a very busy weekend for you. When the decision was you made that you weren't going to run for the AG office, talk about the metamorphosis of that to the governor's race.
Absolutely. So, the convention system is comprised of about 1,200 people. And of course, the primary process is much bigger than that. It's probably about 500,000 people. And when the first ballot came back in the endorsing convention, and it sort of allowed me to really step back and evaluate my options and try to reflect on how can I best serve Minnesota. And so I did that over that weekend. I really thought about in what way can I best serve the state of Minnesota. And we live in a time of so much gridlock and partisanship and things not getting done that ought to be getting done for people. We see it in Washington. We see it in St. Paul. And I ultimately concluded that I can best serve the public as governor. There are so many issues we need to address. I want to make sure people have, a decent shot at a good job that can pay their bills and, that people can have a pension that gives them a dignified retirement and that healthcare costs aren't bankrupting families and that our kids can get a good and decent education at an affordable price. And these are the kind of values that my running mate, Rick Nolan, shares. And so Rick and I spoke and had lunch on that Sunday and had some good conversations. He's somebody that I've known for about a dozen years and have been friends with, he and his wife, Mary. And ultimately, we decided to run for governor and lieutenant governor. And I couldn't be more excited about the race and where we're at right now in the race, but also the things that we're going to be able to get done for the people in Minnesota. For example, we want to sit down with all the legislators before we even take office and figure out sort of what is their issue? You know, is it education? Is it healthcare? And try to find constructive ways to move the state forward in a way that helps people. And that's been my record as a problem solver. Rick's record is as a problem solver. And together we want to, you know, solve problems on behalf of the people of Minnesota in a way that gets progressive results that move our state forward.
Okay, I got to ask you about Rick because, yeah. I mean, I was thinking he was done. I mean, and he's had a great career. I mean, you can't, you know, I thought he was done when he was going to not run for the eighth seat. Did you have to twist his arm? Is it one of those things where he was kind of wanting to get back into it and just didn't want to do the House seat? What did it, you know, explain that interaction, that conversation a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, Rick's really has been such a public servant. I mean, he's one of the finest members of Congress. Rick has been voted or selected as one of the 10 most effective members of Congress in a study in 2015 by Vanderbilt University and the University of Virginia. And he's just one of 24 Democrats who are on something called the Problem Solver Caucus. He's the only member of Minnesota's congressional delegation that's on this Problem Solvers Caucus. But it's basically people who in Congress who want to try to deal with some of the big issues that simply aren't getting done because of the partisanship. And so that's been Rick's career as a public servant, whether it's Congress or in the state legislature before that. He cares about people. He cares about our state. He loves our state and the finest tradition in the sense. And so as we talked about this, you know, this is an opportunity for him to continue to serve, but also be closer to home. I think when he retired, you know, being in Washington and being so far from home, family was a consideration. And as a member of Congress, you know, you're traveling back and forth. And of course, Rick living in northern Minnesota. I mean, you're talking, I suspect, probably 10 hours just to get from D.C. to back home. And that's twice a week. And here he can be home. He can be near family, but also be in a position where he can continue to serve the public. And we look at this as, you know, perhaps the best example is kind of the Carter Mondale example of how President Carter and Vice President Mondale governed the country during their tenure. And in this case, you know, we've got somebody in Rick Nolan who's got an incredible amount of experience in the legislative branch, who's been one of the finest members of Congress, and very much look forward to a partnership together where we can try to tackle some of these problems.
Lori Swanson joining us once again, running for the DFL endorsement to be governor of the state of Minnesota, LoriSwanson.com. And by the way, what you just described about Rick Nolan makes a tremendous amount of sense about being here.
Yeah.
You've talked a little bit about bipartisanship. And part of the frustration I think a lot of Democrats are saying right now is this. Democrats for 10 years have been screaming bipartisanship. The Republicans don't care. The Republicans, you look at what Kurt Daut and the Speaker of the House in Minnesota just did again with this session, waiting till the last minute, dirty tricks in the ag bill, trying to jam as many things in there, not letting the Democratic legislators even read the bill before they have to vote on a 1,000-page bill an hour later. Mm-hmm. This is the idea of bipartisanship is that both sides are willing to work together. And the problem I think that a lot of people like myself have is that we have a Republican Party that basically will say, sure, we'll do bipartisanship as long as you do exactly what we tell you to. Talk about working that minefield.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about the legislative session. It was an incredible disappointment. I mean, the Constitution says that you can't have multiple subjects in a bill, the idea being when the legislature debates legislation, they ought to know what they're debating, and it ought to be up and down on the merits. And when you have these 1,000-page bills, I think it is both constitutionally precarious because it, you know, we have the single subject clause that says don't do that, but it also isn't good policy because it forces people to make decisions not on the issue at hand, but, you know, perhaps voting for a bill where they don't like a bunch of stuff, but they do like something in it, therefore they vote for it. We saw a lot of good things not get done at the end of session that should have gotten done. We're in the midst of an opioid epidemic. We don't have enough treatment in this state. You know, for every dollar you spend on treatment, you save $4 in healthcare costs and $7 in criminal justice costs. Yet the opioid money that was designated to treatment kind of was left on the cutting room floor because it was put into the 1,000-page bill. You know, other issues you know that didn't get done were, you know, tax conformity with the changes in the federal tax laws. We have to have a conformity bill so that people aren't scrambling, filing multiple sets of tax returns, depending on whether it's with the federal or state government. And, you know, so many other important issues. Senior citizens was a hugely important issue. We have problems with senior citizen abuse and how they're treated in assisted living facilities and nursing homes. And there were proposals there to do better by our senior citizens. That as well got caught up in the end of session. And so I think what we would do is try to meet early and, you know, and try to involve people early. And Rick and I have indicated we're going to try to meet with every legislator, or we'll meet with every legislator even before we take office, you know, by Christmas of this year, and try to find out, you know, are there places where we can have common ground, where despite having political agreements, we can move some of these things forward that we simply need to get done on behalf of the people of Minnesota.
It's interesting sometimes how the issues evolve over just a single campaign. Back when I started talking to gubernatorial candidates, we talked mainly about health care and education. But the reality is we have to start talking about agriculture. I mean, another big spat today by our president with China. Minnesota farmers are dependent on this trade with Canada, with China, with Mexico. We've had you know threats against our pork industry, our soy industry. We know wheat, sugar beets. These are all things which are on the potential chopping block when it comes to a White House that is destined to basically be authoritative in a subject they know very little about. Talk about then the role of the governor and what options you have on the table if all of a sudden we start looking at a national policy of trade that goes bad. Where does the responsibility of the governor kick in?
Yeah, so you're right. Agriculture is one of the backbones of Minnesota's economy. It's vital to the success of our state. It's an industry we need to boost and promote in every way possible. And there are many different ways to do that. One is by, trying to create as much as possible state markets for agriculture, being really a promoter of Minnesota's agricultural economy, and trying to create opportunities for trading as much as you can, and creating even state level relationships with other countries. I've been very disappointed in how the president has been treating some of our longest and oldest allies in many ways, the name calling that we've seen with Australia, with Canada, with France. I mean, these are people we have fought World War II alongside of them. They were right there. And, we just had the anniversary of D-Day, and these are allies who have been with this country. And yet to see, how he's treated some of our longest and dearest and oldest friends, and then how he's also treated, people who aren't our oldest and longest friends, the cozying up with Russia and so on and so forth. It has been troubling to me. And I hope that that changes. I hope that to some extent what he's doing on agriculture is, negotiating as opposed to, doing something that's going to end up hurting our farmers. And so you're right. I think the state does have a role. I've seen that in the Attorney General's office as well. When Washington doesn't do certain things or does do certain things, then the state can pick up and try to fill in the cracks. And, in my current position as Attorney General, we've seen some things out of Washington that have been problematic or just plain unconstitutional. For example, the executive order travel ban that came down in January, shortly after the president took office. It was improperly vetted. It was hastily rolled out. It ended up, catching within its ambit people who were lawful residents of this country. And I was one of two attorney generals who filed a lawsuit against the president to go to court and ultimately obtained a court order declaring that travel ban unconstitutional. And so I think it's, going to be important in the system that we have for Minnesota and all states to make sure they're representing their state's interests.
Lori Swanson, once again, joining us. One final question I wanted to bring up to you. There's a story in the Star Tribune about mental health treatment. And mental health treatment, obviously, is something we talk about with health care. It's something we talk about with gun violence in this country. It's something that is vitally important. It was an issue championed by Wellstone. And yet we have another case of insurance companies basically saying we're not going to reimburse you for the cost. Basically an insurance company who's looking at what looks to be a spreadsheet, a number sheet dictating healthcare. And it's obviously it's having an impact not only to the healthcare providers, the mental health care providers in this case, who are unable to pay their bills because they're not getting paid enough for the services that they provide, but at the same time, just not taking care of the people that need mental health care. Talk about the struggle and the fight that coexists here, where the insurance companies are having more and more power over the healthcare market and the ripple effects of that.
Yeah, mental health care is so important that we do a better job on as a society. I mean, there are mental health parity laws that essentially say insurance companies aren't supposed to treat mental illnesses different physical illnesses, but too often we see that they do. One of the big problems we have right now in mental health care is we simply don't have enough capacity in the system to deliver good mental health care to people who need it. And it is tied up, you know, with the drug epidemic. You know, oftentimes you see drug dependency and mental health care problems go hand in hand. You see the increase in the suicide rate, a story about a week ago, a 25% increase in the number of suicides since 1999, even higher in Minnesota. I think it was 40% increase. And we don't have the practitioners out there who, at the level we need to treat mental illness. It's especially acute for kids. You know, children who have, you know, bipolar disease, who have depression, who have mental illnesses, it's very, very hard for families even to find residential facilities in Minnesota to treat those kids. So you end up having parents shipping kids with these disorders to, you know, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or North Dakota, or out of state. And that does a couple of things. One, it ends up typically delaying their treatment. But two, it means that families are split at a time when, you know, children most need familial support. And so, you know, what I'd like to really do, you heard of Joe Biden's moonshot on cancer. I think in Minnesota, we need to have a moonshot on mental health and really focus on, you know, making sure we have the infrastructure, that, you know, the payments there where you can see, you know, practitioners in the mental health area. To a degree in healthcare, you so often see the dollars follow the money. And so, you know, you see money going to, you know, heart facilities because you have a lot of aging baby boomers, or to orthopedics, but we don't see the kind of resources going into mental health care. And it does, you know, as I talk to, you know, judges, I'll ask them oftentimes, you know, what percentage of kids in juvenile court do you think have untreated and undiagnosed mental illness or chemical dependency? And usually the answer I get back is 90% or more have it. And so I think it's something that is we need to deal with. And as governor, I very much want to be involved in dealing with it, both in terms of the insurance companies, but also in terms of just having supply in the system to treat people who need help very desperately.
Lori Swanson, once again, current attorney general, running for the DFL nomination to be governor. The primary comes up here in August. LoriSwanson.com, that's the website if anyone needs information on yours and Mr. Nolan's campaign, correct?
Yep, that is correct, Matt.
All righty. LoriSwanson.com. I mean, obviously, volunteers, donations needed. If you can help out, if you'd like more information, you can go there by all means. Attorney General, I can't tell you what it's a joy it's been to have you as our Attorney General. You've been fantastic in my mind. All my best in the primary, and good luck, and we'll see how the rest of the summer goes.
Okay, thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate you having me, and thanks for all you do as well.
Thank you very much. Lori Swanson, Attorney General of the State of Minnesota. Bye-bye. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. On June 10, 2018, I went over to the Electric Fetus, one of the greatest record stores in the world and one of Prince's favorites, and did a man-on-the-street interview with about 15 customers and store employees. We got the whole story of 50 years and why people love that store. This Saturday night at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
With spring, it's car wash season. Thank goodness for the Luther Advantage program from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I save 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, but I also get big discounts on car washes. And with free 2 years of maintenance with every new Toyota purchased, I can get my oil change and spring service done with the best service and maintenance department at Rudy Luther Toyota. Clear your spring checklist with great service from Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I'm just, this is an amazingly busy day. Now, first of all, I do want to make sure I thank the Attorney General Lori Swanson for joining us right now. Once again, we do open this up to all the candidates who are running for the primary. We've had Aaron Murphy on twice now. We've had Lori Swanson now on. We've had Tim Walz on. I think my producer, Eric. Tim Walz on as well. And we've had invites back for Tim Walz as well to come back because we're offering a new round of interviews from the convention onwards. And, you know, Lori is, once again, I got to tell you the truth. I'm still gobsmacked that she was not endorsed as the Attorney General. She has done a tremendous amount of good for the state. And I don't know what else you need to do to validate that you're qualified and you should be the Attorney General, but you know, she didn't have an inflatable pelican. I don't know. I think that it is a mystery. I mean, it does, you know, but with someone who's kind of that driven and has done that job so well at the Attorney General's, I don't think it's a surprise she shifted gears as quickly as she did and is running for the governor's race there. Once again, LoriSwanson.com. Let's spotlight that interview and we'll make sure we Democrat of the day as well. For that 952-946-6205. I got to tell you right now, I am like, ugh. And it was because of something that happened earlier today, and I'm going to leave all the names out of it, but it just, if you walk up to, when I call someone a jackass, okay? When I call someone a jackass, I'm not expecting them to say, well, gee willikers, golly gosh, tell me more, you know? And when they get upset with me, I don't look at them and say, hey, you can't take criticism. You know, I don't do that. I mean, I don't think that it's necessarily, I think it's pretty clear that I'm not looking to necessarily be friendly in my criticism. Matt's pro tip for you here, okay? If you are at a kid's sporting event, if you're there and you're watching the kid, and I mean, it's a kid's sporting event, okay? If you are out there and you see one of the other parents' kids making a mistake or two on the field, whether it's soccer, softball, baseball, whatever. If you're a parent, you're not a coach. If you're a parent, you probably might not want to go up to that parent of that child and say, God, your kid sucks. Well, if you can do that, but you should probably be expecting to be carrying your teeth back with you. And my son was playing in a game today, and he had two errors. And a guy comes up to me, and he didn't say it directly, but you really can't candy coat this. What he said is, well, why don't you, I say, well, you know what could help your son? I said, what? He said, what I want you to do is I want you to go over to this clinic and go to one of the coaches out there and tell him, and have him tell them, I suck at fielding. And I'm like, stop talking. Stop it. Stop talking. Stop it. Stop talking. No, stop. Stop. Holy God, stop. Now, there's a lot of people that you could go on out there and you know, there's ways you can approach it. You know, if a kid's playing soccer, hey, you know what? My daughter went to the soccer clinic. It was a really good soccer clinic. Would you like that information? You could do it like that. You don't go up there and say, you know, to have your kid tell a coach, I suck at fielding, and expect that to go by. And I got to tell you, the truth is I am still violently angry right now. And it was nice to talk to Lori Swanson because I got my mind on other things. But I am still incredibly angry at this. So out of just good grace, if you really want to make a comment like that, here's my suggestion. Go to the coach. Go to the coach of the team and say, Coach, I would like for you to tell the parent of such and such player this. And if the coach looks at you and goes, whoa, I'm not going to tell him that, then maybe you're probably out of line a little bit. Maybe the coach will say, okay, that's some good advice. I'll relay that to them. But as a parent, don't go to another parent in the stands and say, you know, it's a shame your kid sucks at what they do. You know, you might, it's just, trust me on this, okay? Because right now I'm just kind of in this funk of like, what in the world are you thinking? Seriously. Told you it was an interesting story. Just talking to Sam. 952-946-6205. Hold on, Jennifer. Hold on, Rich. I'll get your calls after the break. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go to 2901 East Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life? It's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Would you or your organization like to become better storytellers? The Uptake can help. Learn from the best teachers in Minnesota when it comes to writing, photography, audio documentary, or live video streaming. I'm personally teaching the live video classes. We're offering classes on Saturdays in June. There's a charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. Space is limited, so register now at theuptake.org/classes. That's theuptake.org/classes and learn to storytell like a pro.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Yeah, and Father's Day, too. Yeah. How'd you spend Father's Day? Well, I got into a wrestling match with another parent at a sporting event, so how about you? 952-946-6205. Hey, if you're not looking to go mano a mano, hey, why not go over and get Play-Doh a Play-Doh? That's right. It is Father's Day, and the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is all of them. You can go out and enjoy some great food with Dad on Father's Day this Sunday. EatLocalMinnesota.com, EatLocalMinnesota.com. Let's run the phones here. Jennifer is in Stillwater. Jennifer, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I just wanted to answer your question as to why Lori Swanson is running. It's because her and Rick Nolan are a backstop in case Tim Walz doesn't get it, because Tim Walz and Rick Nolan worked with Tom Emmer and Jason Lewis to pass H.R. 3115, which was the House resolution to shove the PolyMet mine through with no judicial review either.
stop all the lawsuits on it.
Well, so Jennifer, Jennifer, I want to stop you right now. You're telling me that Lori Swanson, the only reason that Lori Swanson is running, the only reason, is for the PolyMet mine. That there is that the money, that the volunteers, that all this stuff, it's all it comes down to is the one issue. That's it. There's no other, nothing else that you heard the interview with Lori Swanson that there in your mind that there is no other reason that she's running outside of that.
Yes.
All right, that's it. Jennifer, thank you very much. No. All right. And first of all, Jennifer, let me explain something to you. And I said this before with the convention. You can go on out there and take a battle axe to the Swanson-Nolan campaign and the Tim Walz, Peggy Flanagan campaign all you like. You can. Knock yourself out. But then do not ask yourself why they're not willing to help you and why are their volunteers not willing to help you when it comes to the general election. Because right now, I can tell you right now, I like Erin Murphy. Come the general election, if she's the DFL candidate, she is going to need every bit of help she's going to take to win outstate Minnesota. The Republicans nationally have already targeted Minnesota. They are looking at Tina Smith's Senate seat. They are looking at Minnesota 8. They are going to be vilifying Erin Murphy as much as she can. Henceforth, she needs, as much as this pains you, Rick Nolan and Tim Walz, who have strong outside of Minnesota's followings, to help them out. Now, I am no fan of the PolyMet mine. I think we've all understood that. Has anyone missed that show? There's about 40 or 50 over the last 2 years where I have talked about the absolute nutjobbian philosophy of toxifying our Boundary Waters canoe area for the purpose of a handful of metals, not even for an American company, for foreigners to basically destroy our wilderness for nothing. I am completely against it. 100%. There is no middle ground. There is no nothing. But even I am not going to believe the John Grisham-esque, the mining company is running Lori Swanson and Rick Nolan solely to basically get their mine pushed through story. I'm not even going to buy it. It makes the Pelican brief look legit. All right. I disagree with them. I'm disappointed in them. I've been disappointed in a lot of Democrats, though, that have done some things. But for the most part, I agree with Rick Nolan on a lot of things. And I agree with Tim Walz on a lot of things. And I think that neither one of them is necessarily in the pocket of PolyMet. But I guarantee you this primary, they'll have to be, I don't think you're going to be able to win the Democratic nomination if you are pro-PolyMet mine. I do not think that. And plus the fact that, you know, okay, don't make this argument about the Iron Range so bipolar, either pro-mine, you know, PolyMet or anti-PolyMet. Talk about the fact that we have how many tourism jobs involved in northern Minnesota, which will disappear if we toxify that land beyond belief. Talk about trying to get other businesses to move up there. How about broadband across the Iron Range? That way we can move businesses up there and get more jobs hired. Those are the issues you can talk about. It's not so bipolar, for goodness sakes. But once again, let me explain something. If you are a fan of Erin Murphy, you're going to need Tim Walz and Lori Swanson's backers to help you out if you become the nominee. Don't sit there and spread gasoline and flames all over everything and then act like, oh, why don't they want to work with me? All right? We can criticize, and these are questions that are there, but I'm not going to go down the hyperbole road of oh, well, you know, this is the only reason she's running is because PolyMet's propped her up. Now, that's ludicrous. Absolutely. Rich is in Lakeville. Welcome on in, Rich.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
All right, sir.
I have a question for you. Being a senior receiving Social Security, like a lot of people I know, Tim Pawlenty came right out and said that Minnesota is only one of seven states in the U.S. that taxes the Social Security. And he said that's going to be one of the first things he would go after is eliminate that tax. My question is simply this, is that's going to draw a lot of, and I dislike Pawlenty, believe me, I dislike him immensely, but that is going to be a pretty good draw for him right off the bat. Do any of the Democrats, because I can never ask them this question, would they consider that? Or
Rich, don't give all the power to Pawlenty. Don't do that. No. Tim Pawlenty put a $6 billion gaping wound in the state's budget, and that did not include the education budget, which by through magic and mystery, he shifted into a future fiscal cycle. Okay?
Sure.
You basically taking this issue and saying, this is the most, you know, one of the reasons why we have to tax the seniors, and thanks, Rich, I appreciate the phone call. One of the reasons why we have to tax the seniors is because he left a big freaking hole in the budget. He didn't pay his bills. He ran up a massive credit card debt, and we had to have the Democrats come and fix it. That's the entire campaign right there. That is it right there. Johnny's $6 billion deficit versus the people that fixed his mess. Who would you rather have in charge? Ta-da! This isn't rocket science. It isn't. And don't even allow yourself to get into the specific minutiae of any details or points with Pawlenty. You already have the base starting point with him if he becomes a Republican nominee. And that is he left the state with a $6 billion deficit, and he shifted the education budget into a future fiscal cycle for magic and unicorns and rainbows and dreams to pay for. There's the entire thing. How are we going to counter his argument about, you know, interstate highway fund? You don't even have to get into that with him. He's already proven he is not trustworthy when it comes to managing a budget. He has been horrible. We don't have to mysteriously, theoretically think about this. We can just look at the history books. Oh, here it is right here. $6 billion in debt. Well, I guess he was an idiot. Ta-da! Ta-da! I don't know. What else do you need? Don't be concerned about Tim Pawlenty. By the way, if you need some gravy for that meal, he spent then the last 8 years being a Wall Street lobbyist. If you can't beat Tim Pawlenty just by saying, hey, and that's what Tim Pawlenty wants you to do. He's desperate. Oh, talk about this. Let's talk about the fact that you left the state in such financial ruin. Because he can't defend that. You basically going along with his game plan is conceding that point. Do not. Every time you say it, if you're in a debate with Tim Pawlenty for governor, it's like, Mr. McNeil, tell us what you would like to do with water drainage. But first, before I mention what my answer is going to be, just let me remind everyone, Tim Pawlenty left this state in a $6 billion budget deficit, and he shifted the education budget into a future fiscal cycle. Now, back to water. And every end of everything is, oh, and by the way, once again, a reminder, Tim Pawlenty left the state in a $6 billion budget deficit and shifted the education budget into a future fiscal cycle. I'm finished with my time. How are we going to counter his goat issues? I don't care. If you can't knock down that pinata, my God. Low hanging fruit. Please, Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, to anybody that's complaining about how hard it is to drive with all the construction going on, that goes back to all the empty years of cash giveaways to the rich and war on government, both state and federal. So now with Dayton getting the budget in shape and fixing the roads up after all these years of letting it go to heck. So that's why we're catching up now.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. All right. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I did want to make sure I mention the incredibly two stories, which are really just god awful horrible. If you want to know the truth, three stories that are horrible. How about the 36 Minnesotans who have become ill because of unrelated outbreaks of cyclopariasis, which is caused by a parasite found in some imported fresh produce. Yum. One of the outbreaks came from Quick Trip convenience store's veggie trays. In Minnesota and Wisconsin, so far, 20 people have been sickened in Minnesota after buying products at stores across the state. Hard to believe, I know, produce from a gas station. We do not have any indication at this time those two outbreaks are related. That's good. The other one was a Sonora Grill in Minneapolis where 17 patrons became ill after eating this. Needless to say, the usual standard. The culprit, someone didn't wash their hands or someone decided to fertilize the field the old-fashioned way. Needless to say, it's all my best people, I hope you heal. Minneapolis police officers have repeatedly requested over the past 3 years that Hennepin County medical responders sedate people using a powerful tranquilizer, ketamine. Is it ketamine? K-E-T-A-M-I-N-E, ketamine. At times over the protests of those being drugged, and in some cases when no apparent crime was being committed, a city report shows. On multiple occasions, in the presence of police, Hennepin Healthcare EMS workers injected suspects of crimes and others who had already appeared to be restrained, according to the report, and the ketamine caused heart or breathing failure, requiring them to be medically revived. Several people given ketamine would be had to be intubated. These are among the findings of an investigation conducted by the Office of Police Conduct Review, a division of the city's Department of Civil Rights. How in the hell was this allowed to go on the air? Chief Horto, I know you retired, but you need to answer some damn questions about this. Holy God. So you pull up to a perp and you cuff them, which should be kind of the end of it, right? Nope. You order EMTs to drug them. Wow. The number of documented ketamine injections during Minneapolis police calls increased from 3 in 2012 to 62 last year. The report found including 4 uses on the same person. You trying to kill this guy? May 18th, around the time the draft report was completed, Minneapolis Police Commander Todd Savino issued a departmental order saying that officers shall never suggest or demand EMS personnel sedate a subject. This is a decision that needs to be clearly made by EMS personnel, not Minneapolis Police Department officers. What the hell is going on? Okay, jokes aside about the marijuana drug bus, which were all African American, and I'm like, dude, you can't find a white guy downtown selling dope? I mean, really? Really? You can't find a white guy downtown selling dope? You can only find African Americans? Wow. That jokes aside, this is what kind of Orwellian crap is this? We've got the alleged shoplifter drug them. They're upset because they're alleged to be a shoplifter. They might not have done it. They're showing us a little attitude, so knock them out. Oh, they're not breathing? Revive them! Revive them! Revive them! Oh, no, okay. Well, they're back? Drug them again. What the hell is going on? Does the Minneapolis Police Department think that this is somehow going to convey trust? Seriously, what the hell? What are you guys doing over there? You shoot 40-year-old Australian women because reasons. You got these clear problems with racial profiling, which are coming to light, and now we find out that police officers felt like they were Dr. Police Officer. And that doctor police officer had the right to basically just drug someone when they wanted to? Please. Final thing, and I want to make sure I mention this. Donald Trump is insisting this ripping of children away at the border from their parents and putting these children into cages is a Democratic thing. It's not. It is one. There is no law on the book that says he has to do that. That is his policy. He has done this. He is continuing to do this because he's using these children, which he is throwing into cages, as bargaining chips to get his border wall funded. The wall that he said Mexico would pay for, which they have said not. So he's basically at the point where he's throwing children into cages and saying, if the Democrats and a handful of Republicans want to stop this atrocious behavior by myself, then you need to give in to my demands. This is disgusting. It's only a matter of time to what? He shoots a kid in the street and said, that kid was shot because you guys didn't fund my wall. This is some scary crud, man. This is some scary, scary stuff that the President of the United States, in an effort to get his wall funded, is gleefully and enjoying torturing children, to try to get his way. If this was any other sane time in our country, that would have been the end of him, and he would have been yanked out of office today. Nope. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. Oh, we got a crowdfunder pledge, and it's about Eric Paulson and puppets. Oh, you want to stay by for this. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. My show touches people's hearts. I hear from Twin Cities listeners, and thanks to podcasts from listeners across the country, that the subjects I tackle, like our commonalities and our collective struggle to survive the human condition, really resonate. Join me this Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 950. Maybe, just maybe, I'll touch your heart too.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. 952-946-6205. By the way, who's coming in at 4 o'clock here today, Sam?
Looks like it's going to be Brett, Hunter, and myself.
Oh, you guys?
Yeah, it's
we lost the bet again, didn't we? I shouldn't be taking the Twins. All right, listen for the producer's extravaganza coming up here in just a moment here. Maggie Sotos is joining us right now as she has got a Kickstarter page to mock and ridicule Eric Paulson. They've done a little preview video here. Let's play a little bit of that if we could, Sam.
My mailers every few days, heart the guns, hate the gays, that's why I vote GOP, guns isn't me, partisan me, golly OG. So tell your friends they should go over Eric, unless they need healthcare, cause they're a barbaric. My manner really hysteric, you've never heard of me cause I'm generic.
Yeah, they're very nice here. Maggie, kind enough to join us right now. Maggie, thank you very much for the time.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, talk about this. This is a puppet show. You're creating a series to mock and ridicule the albino leech I call Eric Paulson.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man, such kindness. Well, yes, it's called the Grand Old Puppet Party, and we're making a web series that will poke fun at Republicans led by District 3 Representative Eric Paulson, and they will be portrayed by puppets.
How long have you guys been doing stuff like this?
Well, this is a team that has worked together in various projects for a while. I'm a comedian here in the Twin Cities. I do improv comedy and I write plays. And I lived in Chaska at the time of the 2016 election. And mea culpa, I actually voted for Eric Paulson.
What?
I know. It was my fault. I was not very literate when it comes to these issues. And I just saw a TV ad and he seemed nice. I'm a centrist. I was raised Republican. And I thought, oh, that guy seems cool. My bad. This is my effort to atone.
Well, and it's a pretty big effort. We have a Kickstarter page. Where can people find out about that? First of all, let's make sure we mention that too.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, so the Kickstarter is a capital fundraising thing that we're doing to make sure that we are able to pay all of the writers and the artists and our videographers and some of the actors that we're going to be hiring to do this. We're hoping to have several episodes of this web series, and we really want everyone to be able to see them for free. So in order to do that, we have to raise a little bit of capital on the front end so that we're able to compensate the actual folks that are doing it. You can go on Kickstarter.com and look for the Grand Old Puppet Party. That's the Grand Old Puppet Party. We're also on Instagram with the hashtag GoPuppetParty. Yeah, there's a lot of fun puppet shenanigans. Puppets, I think, are really making a comeback. We hopefully will be leading the charge on that. And there's also just a hunger for political satire right now. So it's been so much fun to work on it. And the support's been insane. I really cannot imagine doing this any other way. Well, on top of that, we also are going to have to put aside a little bit of money in case we need it for legal counsel. I can't imagine that we're going to need it because we're sticking to primary sources and actual public statements for all of our episodes. But, you know, the GOP seems to be pretty fond of making, you know, frivolous lawsuits at this point. So it's better to be prepared.
Well, you do. And they're a little snowflake sometimes. I can tell you that for sure. tell us a little bit about some of the other people involved in this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a really great team. We have musicians. We have a videographer who has actually worked a lot with TPT, and she is doing like actual professional work on her own now. We have a writer that I went to college with, and he and I do improv here in the Twin Cities. One of the groups that we actually have used as inspiration for a lot of this project is the improv troupe that we've worked with, the Theater of Public Policy. I don't know if you've heard of them
or not. Yes, I have.
Yes, very good. Yes. Well, I think that really helps sort of cement for us a lot of these paradigms that we're working with of how we can use humor and satire to kind of, you know, reach people. You know, we've obviously had plenty of, you know, robust conversations that are already confirming our own biases. Obviously, cable news is doing a lot of this. But what is really awesome is to see how humor can be used as a tool to engage, perhaps to like do a little bit of self-deprecation, and especially when it's backed up by facts. You know, nobody wants to hear an empty-headed blowhard just make fun of like, oh, Eric Paulson's a stupid person and stuff. Yeah, I mean, you could go that route if you wish.
That's my show.
You know,
yeah, that's basically my show. So.
Matt, you do your work and I'll do mine, and it's fine. There's space for both. But yeah, I mean, when you have a guy that has just this duplicitous, you know, narrative that he's sort of surrounding himself with, it can be very difficult sometimes to reach out to people and to say in a way that's not too affronting, like, hey, this guy is not who you think he is. You know, he says he wants there to be help for, you know, DACA, but, you know, he voted against, you know, DACA recipients and, you know, so many times in the past, like, you know, and then also says, oh, well, the CDC should be able to research gun violence. Well, it turns out the omnibus budget that you voted for, Eric, has no funding for that. So, yeah, it's good to be able to do these, to wrap these facts up in a humorous way.
Maggie Sotos, once again, it's the Grand Old Puppet Party. You can go to Kickstarter, find it there. They're almost at that level. When they get there, you're going to watch these things for free. Maggie, thank you very much for the time. We'll make sure we post this today, later on, okay?
Matt, I so appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. You're amazing.
Thank you very much. Maggie Sotos joining us right now. Once again, thanks Lori Swanson for joining us earlier. Have a great weekend. The producers take over. The monkeys have taken control. We're back on Monday. Till then, see ya.